And in tribute to James McLean, we're finishing Dutch Disc this evening with the Irish Rovi, which he certainly was yesterday. One of his best performances for Stoke by a mile, I'd say. And as Michael O'Neill said after the game, just keep it simple with him and he'll play. So let's keep it simple with him, because if he carries on doing that, we're in business. Well done, James McLean. Here's the titles for the Sunday Sports Show.
Goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from a free kick.
Good evening, and just like buses, two wins come along at the same time. One was very late on, normally like buses, but what a difference a manager with a philosophy of playing people in the right positions makes to the team. We've obviously got to talk about yesterday's match, and we've got to talk about the game against Cardiff coming up and the game against Blackburn on Saturday. So a pretty packed show ahead. So I'll hand you over to Russell, who doesn't go to the away games but can now comment on yesterday's home game.
Good evening, Ange.
Hiya.
You all right?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Yeah, my feet have just touched the ground after this weekend, but it's been a weekend of madness, as those who know me will know, and those who saw me down at Clayton Wood this afternoon will know. Anyway... Yeah, great, fabulous. I was delighted, to be honest. We were. It's a long time since we've had a bounce around at the end of a game like that. Rather extraordinary, isn't it? The fact that the same player was the last player to score a late winner at Stoke, same scoreline, and he comes in out of the cold and does the same thing again. I'd love to know what really has gone on there, but that is. I'd like to know privately, and let's just get on with it, because you know, we don't want to raise any issues at the moment. But you know, I mean, Mamadou's got his issues and things like that. But if he isn't good enough for a championship side, I'll swim the channel. So somebody's got some explaining to do at some point about what's been going on. But now, you know, he seems to be a very popular player. He seems to be certainly a popular player with the fans for his work rate and things like that. Yeah, okay, he gets some stick when he misses some chances, but he still gives his all whenever he plays. And he's been asked to play a number of positions at Stoke. And as you pointed out to us yesterday, he's been here his sixth season, I think, Ange, which I don't know where that's gone, but that's another story. You know, I thought we started the game reasonably well, Andrew. We should have gone in front when Gregory, I think it was Gregory, hit the bar.
Was it Powell?
Yeah. It was Powell with it, was it? With the header. Right, okay. Perhaps if it was Gregory, he would have scored then if it was Ada. But I was generally impressed with Powell as well. Nice to see him come out of the cold. I thought. Generally, we looked pretty good, and I thought we were going to go in front, and then we commit Harry Carey. There's quite a few things wrong with that goal. Joe Allen didn't know somebody was behind him, whether he had a shout or not, and then Tom Edwards has to take command of that situation for me, and he has to say to Jack, you know, you're not coming for this, I'm clearing this. You can clatter me if you want, but this ball's going out into the stand one way or the other. Then there's no way Jack should have been out there trying to deal with it, because Tom Edwards had it under control. But like I say, when Jack's looks in, that ball just skews off someone and goes flying out into touch or something like that. At the moment, he just drops for the forward and he just rolls it in, and you're thinking, well, I wasn't actually yesterday, but I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, here we go again. quite obviously, I know it was devastating for everyone, but you know, we came back and we did well. We kept going. I heard Woods having some stick yesterday, Ange, on Radio Stoke, I think it was, which I thought was rather surprising. I thought he did all right, and he kept possession, and that's what he's in the team to do, is to keep circulating the ball around and whatever. And I thought he did it reasonably well. If we're talking about we're some of his passes backwards and things like that. Well, sometimes it's about retaining the ball and keeping the ball, keeping Wigan away from the ball. And he does that pretty well normally. He did lose it about a couple of times, or two or three times. But apart from that, he played well. And he put a lovely ball in for the goal.
From the free kick.
From the free kick. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a great chance for whoever could get on the end of that. And... I've got to mention McLean, because he's been a figure of discussion over a number of months and years since he's been here. I thought, from all reports from the people who went to Barnsley, he was a different player at Barnsley. He played really, really well in the role what we all thought he should be playing in if he's going to be playing in the team, you know, on the left wing. And yesterday, I thought he was tremendous. You know, I've got to say that. I thought he had a lot of end product too. You know, his delivery was great, and he pulled some great balls across. He beat players and got the ball in. His work rate was phenomenal. And you know, that run he had, that we've seen down there in a long time, at least from individual skill point of view on the deck. Yeah, and to finish the game like that was just absolutely wonderful. I hope we've got a good manager. I hope we've got a lucky manager. We keep saying it. There's a lot of luck in football. There is a lot of luck in football. It's not going Jack's way at the moment. The luck isn't, but you know, the ball just drops for us in the box, which none of our managers recently have had that sort of good fortune. And Mama just rolls it in and we get the 3 points and everybody goes home happy. And it's wonderful. And like I say, I've had loads of people coming up to me today, Ange, and saying, I'll take a point at Cardiff. I'm happy. I just think we're going to go there and we're going to carry this run on now. It just feels different already. You've got belief in the players. I don't think the Sam Klukas news is as bad as was originally first feared, which is great for everybody because Sam was playing well. And Ryan Shawcross played last week as well in the under-23s on not a very good pitch, Ange, I'm told, at Wolverhampton Casuals, was it, or wherever they played. Either they've got a lot of confidence in that ankle injury, or because they wouldn't have played him there, I don't think. He can't be that far away. So, it's all looking a lot more positive, and we're still in the relegation zone. But everybody, the positivity around the place is coming back, which is great.
Well, we've got an email already. A message already via the Oatcake from Smiley. I wonder if Smiley's always Smiley. Evening all, good result yesterday. Not convinced we're anywhere near being sorted out, but the new manager seems to have settled things down at long last. Looking forward to the rest of the season. That's something I've not been able to say for a few years, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. Don't let's kid ourselves. We played Barnsley last week, who weren't great, and we played Wigan, who I didn't think were great either. To me, if you want my opinion, which clearly you don't, Russell, I thought the defence looked... pretty suspect again. We seem to only have to have somebody get a ball across. Jack isn't coming off his line. That's probably a confidence thing. Whilst I agree with you that Tom probably should have cleared that ball, it was another ball over the top that caused mayhem for us. And if you look at the playback, he is quite clearly told to leave it by Jack.
He should have took no notice.
Well, whether he should have took no notice or not, you don't clear the ball into your own fullback and straight. We all know it was a mistake. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of them coming at the moment. And I still maintain that whilst people think he's the best goalkeeper, your best goalkeeper is the one that keeps the ball out of the net. And I'm not so sure.
My old football coach.
That's it. Yeah.
My old football coach would have blamed me for that.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have blamed Butland.
Yeah. Well,
he'd have said, you clear it and argue with the keeper later.
Yeah.
Afterwards, that's what he'd have said. Tom Edwards, just got a message for Tom Edwards. If that situation ever happens again, just put it in the stand. And if Jack Butland argues whether it should have been his, you should have cleared it, that doesn't concede a goal. So, you know, just get rid, because he should have cleared it on his right foot out into touch.
Yeah,
but Jack should not have been anywhere near the situation. Don't get me wrong, I'm not absolving him from blame at all. But Tom Edwards should have just whacked it out into touch, because you could see that there was going to be a coming together, couldn't you? Because Edwards was far too close to the situation, as was that Wigan player. You know, so, but like I say, when you look, say, Ange, that would have just flown out and nobody'd had any problem. It just hit the player, just lobbed straight up, lovely, didn't it, for the player who's coming in, which is exactly how it's going for him at the moment. But he wouldn't have been in that situation. He wouldn't have had another bit of bad luck going against him, would he, if he'd have just kept out of the situation.
No,
but like I say, I still say that Tom Edwards also. First rule, if I'd have been facing my own goal in that situation, playing centre-half, I know Tom's a right-back, but playing centre-half, running back towards my own goal, knowing I've got somebody right on my tail, which he did have, he'd go straight out into touch, no messing. That's first rule. And like I say, my old coach would have blamed me for that, not Jack, I tell you. But I know a lot of people are blaming Jack for it.
Well, I think, I'll go back to what I said, I think the defence is very suspect, and it's suspect to a ball over the top. Having said that, you can only beat the teams that are put in front of you. Cardiff managed to fight back yesterday when it all looked dead and buried. I think it'll be a much tougher match than people think. And you've got to factor in that you have just said McLean played a great game. He did. He's not available now.
No.
You know, he's not available. So
well, he's very lucky he wasn't sent off. I've got to say that as well, Ange. He was very, very lucky he wasn't sent off. Now, I'm gonna say this as well though. I saw the entire incident towards the end of that game.
Okay.
And he was provoked. Somebody walked up to him. I can't tell you who the Wigan player was, but he walked up to him with his hand over his mouth and clearly said something really inflammatory to McLean. Now you can imagine what it was. We can all imagine probably what it was that would wind him up like that. But he was definitely provoked, and he fell for it. Uklein and Sinker, because I think he could have killed the lad if he'd have got hold of him, because he was threatening him. He was threatening to have him in the tunnel and everything, and had to be restrained by other people. And the person who was sitting next to me thought that a red card had been thrown in that situation, you know, with the referee, because Ndai, I think, got involved as well, and I think he got booked in the end.
I
want to back McLean up, because McLean was provoked. That Wigan player said something to McLean that absolutely made him flip his lid, like I say. And we can imagine, you can imagine what it was. There's no need to say it, but you can imagine the sort of thing that it would have been. And it was clearly something that he felt he had to react to straight away. Now, like I say, I suppose some people would say that's not a defence. But he was definitely provoked. There's no question about that. It was quite obvious. And like I say, I can say that as a witness seeing the lot of it, because it happened right in front of me. So,
well, whether he's provoked or not, he's booked and he's not able to play on Tuesday night. And I think that gives... I'd like to hear what people think the team selection should be, because obviously we're going to have no wide man. Are you going to put Mama Juf on the wing? Or are you going to bring Tyrese Campbell in? Or are you going to play somebody else? The other thing that I think needs factoring in is that when we had the previous manager, I regularly used to say, do you plan for three game weeks differently than other weeks? He always said he had a very good sports science team behind him, and there were signs to me on that pitch yesterday that Joe Allen was absolutely shattered. The manager said he was shattered. He will not recover from travelling and those matches quickly, so would you, I'm just asking, I'm not saying whether he will or not, would you play him? I know that my impression of Ryan Woods was not the same as yours from yesterday's match. I thought he was lightweight. The longer the match went on, I thought he was liable to give the ball away backwards. But that's just my impression. I'm not saying he didn't play great the game before. I thought that Gregory looked not on it as much as normal. When Vokes came on, and yeah, people can say he didn't see the ball till late, he had a chance to score, to put it safe. And for Powell, I just didn't think Powell did much at all in the game. I think he's got tremendous ability, but to me, he's not the sort of player I would regularly want in my team at the moment, because I think he's great in a winning team. And I thought if he was going to shine yesterday, it would have been, you know, if he was going to shine yesterday, it would have been against his old team. And he didn't do that. I just think the defence looks suspect. Midfield is obviously better when Badu and Dye plays, whether he's carrying a knock or whether everybody seems to think he's going. I don't think Michael O'Neill will play people who he knows are going to leave the club. Etteboh, I'm not sure, is fit, and we all need to congratulate him on the birth of the little baby they've had, so that's great, and that'll be a bit of upheaval for him. And then you look at Klukas, who you've already mentioned. I have no idea how long he's going to be out. I heard, like other people, that it won't be as long as people say. In terms of Ryan Shawcross, I fully expect him to have another run out this week. And I hope he's back in the team soon, because it's a big ask for him to come back that quickly, and all credit to him for working as hard as he has to do so. But we desperately need some leadership. And if you look at the way the fixtures are falling for the rest of this year, then arguably we have a chance to go unbeaten. I know it's very hard in this league to go unbeaten. I watched Middlesbrough and Hull today, and my word, if ever you want to shoot... There were shades of Stoke about Middlesbrough. Oh, we're playing okay, are we doing all right? So let's get somebody to go in and do a kamikaze tackle and get sent off. And then let's think we've almost seen it out and then concede a goal.
Well, I wonder what people thought about that McLean challenge, Ange, in the first half. What did you think about it, Ange?
I can't remember it.
The one where he slid in and oh, yeah. pretty
forcefully.
What's the word I'm looking for? What do they say these days? Out of control, did they say?
Yeah, I actually didn't think there was anything wrong.
Did you think he was going to get the red out of his pocket, though?
No, but I was surprised he didn't, because, again, you know, that referee sent Joe Allen off in another match.
Mm.
But I thought his decisions for both teams were awful. And I'm sorry, the Danny Bart one, where, yeah, OK, maybe he hasn't pulled too much. He's pulled in the penalty area, and to me it's a penalty. And then the one at the other side of the pitch,
yeah.
where he gives a free kick outside the pitch... Outside the penalty. It was in the penalty area. You can actually see, in my opinion, it was a penalty. But we won, and that's all that matters.
Is that the one where Bart was backing into him, but he eventually brought him down?
But Mamdjouf, who I'm not his biggest fan, I will never say he doesn't give his best. But that's the least I expect of anybody playing for Stoke, is to give their best. I just wonder how many other people, because me and another guy said, oh, I just love him to score the winner. I wonder how many other people said that. And when he scored, what does he do? He takes his shirt off, immediate booking. They tried to get his shirt back on down by the corner flag so the ref wouldn't see it. Immediate booking. They add up. Daft, silly booking. But I can't blame him. The guy has been, for whatever reasons, which we'll never know, he's been left out of the squad. And it was interesting to see Michael O'Neill say that he can play right across the front line. And I was so tempted to say he can also play left back, but I thought it was probably best
say nothing
right at all.
Right wing back.
But Michael O'Neill, all credit to what's happened. We talk about Nathan Jones, who's gone now, and everybody said he seemed to be an unlucky manager. This guy is a lucky manager. He's come into the team. We had a good win at Barnsley. We played another team that we should have beaten yesterday. And you look at the fixture list, as I've said, and we could go on a run now. He's very calm, he's very measured, he has a certain amount of authority, and I am led to believe that when he met the players in his first 30 minutes, he left them under no illusions or doubts that if they didn't do what he wanted, they wouldn't be at Stoke. And when you hear the press interviews later, it's quite clear that he is going to trim that squad down. And you heard the pre-match presser, he's also aware of financial fair play. So it will be an interesting January, I think. Made a slightly glib comment yesterday about getting more players in, which we'll hear later on. So you might have a few people to catch up on.
Twitter first. Cambridge Stokey says, we seem to have a manager who knows what he's doing, playing players in their correct positions and not sticking to some stupid formation that doesn't work. Tom Hall says, personally thought Powell was a bit of a passenger. Certainly not the Xavi-type player he was made out to be. Woods was absolutely appalling, says Tom. Bullied off the ball and too lightweight. John Stoddard says, come on, Ange, you think Huth, Fye, Smith, Pedic, etc. would not have cleared that ball?
Oh, I do. I do think they would have. But they were senior professionals. I don't think Tom can call himself as senior as Jack. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have cleared it. But I'm saying as a younger professional, when an England international shouts, leave it, then you leave it. But I'm not saying it was right.
Okay.
Huth would have cleared him the ball and the Wigan player over the touchline.
And they'd had a chat about it afterwards, but it wouldn't have been a goal. Dan Mullock says, 6 weeks ago we would have lost that match after getting a goal down. There looks like there's a real change in mentality that has taken place, so onwards and upwards. And there's nothing wrong with that McLean challenge, says Dan. It was the worst refereeing performance he's seen for a long time.
I would agree with that, Dan. I thought he was awful. Not just for us. I thought he was just so bad.
He seemed to respond to crowd noise as well. You know, he seemed to give stuff for either side. Or complaint from on the pitch. He seemed to respond to that rather than what he saw with his own eyes. That's why I thought he was going to get a red out for that McLean challenge when everybody started getting berserk. And I thought, when the players all start crowding the referee, you think Stoke players probably were thinking he might get a red out for this. Yeah. We try and get in his face a bit and try and deflect it. Mm. The Wigan players were trying to get in there as well. Anyway, on Facebook, Neil Price says, 2 wins, 6 goals, a cracking start for Michael O'Neill. Gaz Hall says it was nice to go home happy. It certainly was. Andy Furnio says it was a great result in the end, but I never want to see Nick Powell in centre mid again. Glad he changed it at half time. Neil Price says the players are clearly responding well to O'Neill. Neil Williams says, evening from Shrewsbury.
Hello.
Only 2 games in, but it just shows how hard we made a simple game called football for 30 matches. Great to see players who weren't given a decent chance under the old regime proving them wrong. Great to get a late goal. Ted and Jules say, can't wait for Tuesday night to Cardiff away. Somebody says, turn our mics on, Ange.
Well, my mic's on.
Is it?
Mm. And you can see from there it's on.
I think they might think Facebook. Go on, you carry on with Oatcake while I check that.
Right, well, on the Oatcake, Absolution says, Absolution, are you not going to be Absolution for Duff tonight? It's not necessarily luck that a player renowned for being in the right place at the right time happened to be in the right place at the right time. You can't always rely on Duff's finishing, but there's no one better for popping up in the box to finish that kind of chance. He should have been in the squad all along for that reason. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I'm glad he's back, given what's happened. And the other thing that I would quite like to see now, and I never thought I'd say this, I'd like Benny Cofobi to get fit, just to see if he is going to be the goal machine that Bristol thought they'd got. That might be another stroke of luck for us.
Well, it looks like Facebook's working on iPad devices tonight, but not on iPhone devices, which is rather weird.
We are on Mixlr. You can hear us on the site.
Loads of people are saying they've got sound, and other people are saying they haven't got sound. Right. So it can't be. And this is on the Facebook feed, so obviously it's not us.
Tell us where you haven't got sound. If you've not got sound on iPhone, shame on you for having an iPhone. And you can't hear me say that.
Steve Bree says, what a great buzz. It's great to see a last gasp winner.
But wasn't that the best bit? When was the last time? Well, we know when the last time was. But, you know, you forget what it's like to score in the last minute. And people suddenly start jumping all over each other and hugging each other.
It's quite extraordinary, Ange, because, funnily enough, we've won 4 of the last 6 games.
Yeah, and we're actually in promotion winning form.
And 2 of those games have both been won with really late goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, 1 away with Hogan. Where's Hogan, by the way?
Well, I thought we'd come on to that in a bit.
Okay. Scott Price says, a great mantle in the booth and end when Mam Juif scored the winning goal. 6 points out of 2 games for the new manager, Michael O'Neill. Johnny Pace says, Woods okay, but falls over too much in a dangerous area. Gary Pardy says, yes, I heard Woods get stick. I thought he did okay. Scott Bailey says, you may as well talk about it now, Ange. What's happened to Scott Hogan?
I don't know, but I will ask tomorrow. I suspect he just is picking horses for courses. But I'm pretty sure that this week we will see more changes than we might have seen before, because I think he will know and he will have worked out that some of his players will be tired having played international matches.
Okay, Jenny Kifani says, good evening from Bulgaria.
Hello.
Glad Mammy is back. I'm very hopeful, but still a lot of work to do. O'Neill has got his work cut out. This is really interesting about some people saying they've got no sound. I suggest you just either an issue with your Facebook.
They can't hear you, Russell, if they've got no sound. You have to type it.
Well, okay. But anyway, well, they might be listening to it elsewhere now. Scott Price says, I've got sound on my mobile, no issues at all. Steve
Perhaps
Jones
there's an
says,
outage, like there was at the Bet365.
Yeah. Wilf Martin says, what did you think of the referee today, Russ? He's tempting me to get banned by the staff FA, I think. Wilf, he was shocking. Yeah. Lynn Ribbon says, time to get rid of Butland and Jan and cash in. What do you guys think? Stuart Fulton says, Jack is to blame. Sale in January has cost a lot. Mark Wilson says Jack needs to stay on his line. Benjamin Jason Davies says Duff for me won't score us loads of goals or be our top striker. I don't think we should kid ourselves in thinking that. More importantly for me, he brings something far more to the team that is the pride to wear our shirt. He said in post-match interview he doesn't care what position he plays, he just wants to play. How many players have we seen just show just an ounce of the same pride this season? So for me, he needs more games, or at least be on the bench, to show the rest of the squad what it means to play for us. If it's just 10% of his drive, commitment, and rubs off on them, it will show. Off to Cardiff I go. Phil Lunt says the last line of defence is the keeper. Ian from Scholar Green says Joe Allen was at fault for the goal.
He was, he lost the ball in the middle.
Yeah,
of the
I know he lost the ball, but it should never have been a goal,
no,
even
no.
after that.
No.
So, you know, there's a lot of people. Okay. Kev Pardy says Jack isn't coming off his line. How did they get their goal? Butland would never have made his mistake if Joe Allen had been awake. Nobody mentions Joe's mistake in giving the ball away in the first place.
If that was aimed at me, Kev. I don't think he comes off his line for crosses anymore. It's nothing to do with coming out for the goal. I think he doesn't come out for crosses, and when he does come out, he punches when he should catch, in my opinion. But it's easy when you're not a goalkeeper.
Yeah. John Hall says all three were culpable for that goal. I agree with that totally. Martin Eagle says, is Josh Tymon back?
I've no idea.
Unless Neil Price says he is.
Right,
so
go
Neil
then.
Knows. Okay, Steve Bree says, Butland and Edwards both had the right things in mind, but it was one or the other. On the other hand, if Allen had stuck his nut on the ball instead of trying to get his foot about 7 foot in the air, it wouldn't have got to Butland and Edwards. Scott Price says that Tymon came into the stadium yesterday in normal clothes after the players and Michael O'Neill arrived. We've got there some inside info there, Ange. Steve Bree says, I'm one of McLean's biggest critics, but he was head and shoulders above everybody else yesterday. Credit where it's due. Liam Cope says, bring Duffy in for the suspended McLean.
I'd even forgotten about him, thank you.
He wasn't even on the bench yesterday, was he, again?
No.
Peter Joseph Roscoe says, that sort of player is now rare, but the pure desire to wear the club's shirt should be applauded, and I presume that's... the reason why Duff's getting so much plaudits. Stuart Fulton has got a question for you, Ange.
Yeah.
Ange, would you play Campbell on Tuesday?
Personally, I wouldn't play him. I'd have him on the bench as an option, as a sub. I think I would. I can see why you would stick him on the outside of the three, but I think given that Duff came on and played so well, he'll stick Duff on. But he's great to come off the bench, isn't he, Tyrese? I don't think he can last 90 minutes, I'm sorry. And I think we need somebody that's more willing to do the groundwork than he seems physically capable of. And I would say that would be Duff, although other people have mentioned Duffy.
Okay. John Hall agrees with you about Woods. Ange says he got knocked off the ball too easy, in John's opinion. Kev Pardy gives a stat about how many we've won in the last so many games. Dan Eyre says, hi guys, looking forward to another fantastic show. Smiling but still cautious. That said, I like the cut of O'Neill's jib, calm assured and no nonsense. I think he's showing a nous we've missed for a long time. Yeah, to me, he's coming across as a very, very experienced
person. Which you would expect given the management.
Very, very, very experienced person. Yeah. And as I've said, there's no hope for us if the players don't respond to him. That's what I think. But like I say, going back a little bit, I said it so many times on this programme this season, there's one thing, love Nathan Jones to bits, but there's one thing he couldn't possibly convince me about, and that was his decision on James McLean. And I could sit and talk to him for hours, Ange, and he could give me all his thoughts and all his opinions on why he did that, but he'd never convince me. You know, and it's cost him his job, I think, in the end of the day.
Chesterfield Stokey on the Oatcake says, did you watch Quest when we beat Barnsley? Funnily enough, I've watched Quest twice.
And yeah, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I don't know why I didn't watch it after Swansea. I guess because I wasn't back. Was that a Saturday? Yeah, it was. Did you watch Quest when we beat Barnsley? The joke of the century from your tone. He's not my tone. He should be our tone, Chesterfield Stokey. It's players playing in their proper position. Shot and Cresswell to mention too. Yes, he has a good sense of humour, does my tone. And the next thing that I would like to mention is that I did watch it last night, and I'm sure everybody else that watched it saw Colin Murray still very much in a bit of a bromance with Michael O'Neill. And I think it's really nice that somebody in the press is now pro Stoke again, because we'd lost that.
I really think, Ange, that it has the appointment of Michael O'Neill has really gained us some profile.
Again,
it's gained us some positive profile.
Yeah.
And like I say, he just gives the impression to me of someone who's very calm and measured in the media, but behind the scenes, he's a no nonsense character. And that is. To be welcomed.
I believe that he's getting everybody that's in the squad and a few more besides, they have to attend at the game. So I think there's a bit of a pressure on the car parking spaces at Stoke at the moment, because of course they only used to have the people that were in the squad playing, but most others have got to go as well now. And I think that's good. He's sort of put about a sense of unity. So well, let's ask you a couple of questions then. Then Russ will go on to what the polls are. I would like to know who you would play on Tuesday, given that we already know McLean's out. There'll be a couple of tired legs as well. Would you change much? Would you keep Jack in goal? So I'd like to know what your thoughts are that, and then Russ, you can talk about the
polls.
Polls.
Right. Well, there's three polls actually. Three game week again, as they sometimes call it, don't they? Even though it's a two game week, really, in reality. Cardiff game first. We've got a positive fan base again, Ange. Cardiff 17%, draw 53%, Stoke 30%. So 83% of people think we're going to get something. And Cardiff are about 17th or 18th, they're not having a good
time.
Well,
Warnock's gone, but now they've got one of the guys that was interviewed for the
our job. And the result for Blackburn, and that's going to bring back memories for me, because that game was just absolutely dire till the last 5 or 10 minutes last year, wasn't it, at home? Blackburn at home, can you remember it, folks? We were 3-0 down and then scored two goals in about a minute in the late stage of the game, then missed a penalty in the injury time.
Yeah.
Incredible game, and we didn't deserve anything out of the game.
Who missed that penalty?
Saturday Berahino.
That's right.
He hit the bar, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think if he hit the bar or skied it completely.
He hit the crossbar.
But I think it was a fair result, because I don't think we deserved anything. Mm. You know, you have to be honest. Blackburn, Stoke 87%. Wow. Draw 5%, Blackburn 8%. Now, the man of the match poll is
waste of time.
It is, really, because James McLean is currently on 96% of the vote. So
who's
I don't.
Got the other 4%?
Woods.
Crimes.
Is that there
his mother? Did his mother vote
in? Obviously. Anyway, so there's not much doubt, I don't think, he's going to he's going to win that one. And it's one of the first Man of the Match awards, actually, by the sponsors that got universal approval. I think everybody agreed with that. Like I say, people have had their issues with the lad, but whatever you say, we're fair-minded about stuff. And, you know, when a player puts a shift in like that and plays as well as he did, Stoke fans will get right behind it. Mark Wilson says, who do you think the club will be willing to sell in January, Ange?
Anybody that gets a good enough offer.
Andy Furnier says, the McLean booking was pathetic reffing. Right. See, now that just shows you what you see from a distance. Now, obviously, Andy was closer to the incident than I was, but from a distance, which was probably as far away from the incident as you could possibly be on the diagonal, it looked like he launched in from a long, long way. Now, I know he might have got the ball, but he probably got the player as well. But I haven't seen the actual incident on TV, I have to say. Phil Lunt says, very poor ref yesterday. Neil Price says, well done to Mamadou. Came out of the cold and took his chance. Joanne Campbell says, Juve is the loveliest bloke and has won over every new manager and has to be given a fair chance by them all. I'm thrilled for him, but I've seen enough from him over the years to know that I do not want to see another resurrection. That being said, I hope he proves me wrong. What a lovely post that is. Rob Wilshaw says, that McLean challenge is something we would have relished in the early Premier League days. Now we're discussing if it's a red or not. Well, that probably just does explain how football has changed even in that short period. Ben Davies says, it seemed to me Jones was more of a friend coach to the squad, and unfortunately most football players need a telling off now and then. I think Jones was trying to please everybody. O'Neill is a manager, you can see it already, no thumping his chest, taking all the plaudits for a win, which I think rubbed the players up the wrong way. It's funny you should mention that, because somebody said that to me over the weekend, actually, that tub thumping after the, which game was it, Ange? Fulham?
Yeah, if you think about it, if you've just worked your socks off as a footballer or in any sport, and then somebody who hasn't done anything other than prepare you for the game comes on and takes all... I understand why he did it, because he was under a huge amount of pressure. I don't think I'd be best pleased. I did think about it, and if, you know, I've played a few international games as well as domestic games, and if my manager had run on the court shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, look what we've done, I don't think they'd have got off the court. No, seriously, it's. I can understand why people think the way they do. Well, I'm sorry, at least I'm telling the truth. I would have said, excuse me, dear manager.
Would you have felt a bit of cat gut?
Well,
over
he was
his
a
bottom,
she at that time, she? Okay. And, you know, she's no longer with us, so I'll just keep my thoughts to myself on that one. But, seriously, I would agree that it's a bit disrespectful. The one thing that I think is very interesting. They talk about the luck of the Irish and the Blarney, and Michael O'Neill's got it all. He's got a good sense of humour, which we'll hear a little clip of towards the end of the show. He's got a very engaging personality, but I told you last week I thought he was like a bank manager, but there's something about him that I don't think if I was a player, I would, if I crossed him, I'd expect to be in the squad. I think he's the... It may be a masterstroke. Obviously, we might change our mind if we lose at Cardiff and Blackburn, but I watched him on the side yesterday, and he seems quite composed even when he's having a go at the fourth official. It's a rational conversation with him rather than a jumping up and down and kicking a water bottle conversation.
He makes his points when he's standing on the sideline there, but he's very calm about it. When he's talking to the players, he's very calm about it. And he also gives encouragement quite calmly as well. I'm sure words were exchanged at half time yesterday. I'm sure he got into him a bit, because I thought they came out and it was much better. There was a response.
As somebody said early doors, if we'd have lost that goal as we did, we could have lost that match 2-3 because they would have just crumbled. But there was a little bit of fire about them yesterday, and I'm glad Danny Bart got his foot on that ball. They should have been dead and buried early doors, but you can't get too carried away because of the teams we're playing. Having said that, they're the teams we've got to play, and I'm looking forward, for the first time for ages, I'm looking forward to going to games again.
There's not much, when you say about these are the teams they're playing round and about us and stuff, Ange, the league is much of a muchness. There ain't anybody really particularly brilliant.
Well, I think if you look at the form table for the Championship at the moment, we're seventh.
Exactly.
And if we continue to... If, in the unlikely event that we get through to January the 1st, where I think we play Huddersfield away, if we get through to there unbeaten, then I think I would revisit. At this moment in time, talking about the playoffs is a bit ridiculous, in my opinion, because we're still in the relegation zone. And I
couldn't believe that guy yesterday talking about the playoffs. I mean, we might be. I mean, even Lee. I don't know who the guy was. It Lee Blakeman. It might have been. I think even he was gasping, and Liam Lawrence in the background when the guy was saying we're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to play that clip back in April if he's right.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's get out of trouble first.
Absolutely.
That's the number one priority.
Yeah. And it was,
let's get out of trouble. Let's enjoy watching the team again.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy. And I did enjoy. I must have, like I say, I sent out a tweet after about a quarter of an hour, so I don't want to tempt fate. But I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then, of course, within a... In about a quarter of an hour, we've had another clangor,
yeah,
and everybody's thinking, and actually, quite rightly, with what's happened, these fans have taken a lot. They've taken a lot of punches to the solar plexus.
What was important and impressive yesterday was that people stuck with the team.
Yeah.
And whilst there were people fed up with the way we conceded that goal, there weren't too many boos around. And the one thing that I thought stood out more than anything, and I never thought I'd hear this at Stoke, was when they announced the man of the match, James McLean got a tremendous round of applause, and you could not fault the bloke yesterday, and I never thought he'd win over the Stoke crowd.
Well, he'll win
fickle.
He'll win over the crowd if he performs like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Michael O'Neill had it spot on.
Mm.
I think Tony said it before, your mate Tony, Ange. I think he said it before, hasn't he, in press conferences, that he doesn't think he's the most intelligent player. But he gives, you know, if you give him, and Michael O'Neill said yesterday basically something similar.
If
he said, if you give him simple instructions, and he's all right. And you can imagine, can't you? If Nathan Jones is saying to McLean, if he drops off here, you've got to go back there, if he does this, you've got to go there. And his head would have been completely frazzled by all that tactical stuff that you have to know if you're going to play that position.
Yeah.
Which is, like I say, I come back to it again. He'll never be able to explain that one to me. Tom Hull says, honest thoughts on Tom Ince yesterday. I can't make my mind up. I thought it was a much better performance by Tom Ince.
I thought Tom Ince for the first 30 minutes looked good, and I thought he looked good for the last 20 minutes. And then the bit in between and the bits I can't cope with him, he just goes missing when things get tough.
I did agree with someone again in the phone, and who said when he beats a player and gets the byline and gets a cross in, he'll swim the channel, or words to that effect. He said he always cuts back and inside, doesn't he? Well, at some point he's got to take a man on, hasn't he? Otherwise the player's just gonna automatically know what he's gonna do. So he's got to have a try at beating him and going round down to the byline at some point. Okay, Roger Barnett says, when was the last time Stoke got the winner in the last few minutes?
Swansea away,
yeah. Jack should never have come off, has never come off his line, says Roger Barnett. One fault he has.
Hmm.
Gary Pardy says, the ref was giving free kicks when it wasn't a free kick and not giving free kicks when it was a free kick. I think that's a good assessment. There's loads of people saying Facebook sound... is working. Martin Eagle says, wouldn't be surprised to see all the loanees sent back to parent clubs in January if we could do it. I think it should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
No comment?
No.
Okay. Carlo Balzar says, hello from Eastbourne.
Hello.
Jackie says, she didn't have sound at the beginning, but fine now on the iPhone.
Right.
Great. Jamie Heath says, we know it's not us anyway, so we'll put all the blame on the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Clients, customers always wrong.
I think that's what he does.
Instead of the customers always right. Jamie Heath says, what about Mark Duffy? Sheffield United fans spoke highly about him. They certainly did. I don't know what's happened there. Benjamin Davies says, can I just say I'm new to this site and it's because of Angeli. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
I've always.
Yeah, but just now I'm not reading that out.
Oh, right. Well, is it good? Is it pleasant then?
Okay, yeah. Philip okay. Kelsall
thank
says,
thank you, thank you.
Butland is a shot stop, good shot stopper, but a bad decision maker. Where are we now? Trevor Hughes says, Edwards should have put the ball in Rose Ed, but what a great comeback.
Yeah.
I think that is Andy Finio. If you can see what you've posted on here, I've got to choose my words very carefully.
It's Christmassy.
How bad was Tom Ince yesterday? See him turn his back rather than be brave and take one for the team when the ball bounced off the bar. Well, yeah, great. But that wasn't what I wanted to say about Tom Ince. I was going to say, what a great pullback by, I think it was McLean again, and he absolutely thumped it on his left, on his right foot. And did it go straight, parried away by the keeper?
Either way,
that would have been another belting goal. Ian McDonald says, if Duke comes in to replace McLean on Tuesday, I'd like to see him play on the right and put Ince on the left, giving us proper width on both sides. Scott Bailey says, would it be possible to recall Velinden? I think there's a lot of rumours going round about Velinden, and obviously Timon, we now know, according to the scouts, is back.
Well, I do know that there is talk of him, Velinden, there is a possibility to recall him in the period of January and February when the transfer window opens.
Stuart Faulkner says, we now have a top-class number two as well, with Michael O'Neill. That's been his opinion.
Right, OK.
What do you think about the assistant manager?
All I remember him as is a footballer. I have no knowledge of him as anything else.
OK. Right, here we go. Here's the full post from Ben Davies. He must have pressed return before. Can I just say, I only found this great show due to Ange. This game, my embarrassing Ange. I've always enjoyed her post-match interviews, so I researched her. I didn't know we had such a famous sports lady supporting our team. Ange, send me a £200 cheque tomorrow.
So famous that you didn't know who I was.
Scott Price has great performance from James McLean. I thought he was on about me then for a minute, famous sports lady, obviously. Great performance from James McLean yesterday because he's playing in his right position. Aunt Bradshaw says, tell me about it. He says, the player's car park was rammed yesterday. Brad has told me he got a bit of stick off the Wigan fans as well yesterday.
Why did you get some stick, Brad?
I can tell you, but off air, Ange.
Okay.
Stuart Faulkner says, Russ and Ange, do you think most of Nathan James' signings will go in January?
I think some of them will definitely go. You have to wonder about... I think Adam Davies may well stay because I do honestly think Jack will go. You have to wonder if your name's Lindsay and Smith whether you'd want to stay because you're not figuring. Who do you think?
Oh, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it because I'm going to be busy as well, aren't I?
No, but I'm asking who do you think will go?
I've not been impressed by many of his signings, I have to say. So I'd keep Gregory. It's better to say you'd keep, I think.
Go on then.
I'd keep Gregory. I'd definitely keep Powell, no matter what you say. I'd definitely keep Powell. There's obviously a keeper there in Adam Davies, but I really don't know what's happening with him because he's not even playing in the under-23s at the moment. Is he injured, Ange?
I've no idea.
Just, I don't know what's happening. The rest of him, Tommy Smith has been a real letdown considering he was in Huddersfield's first team for ages and ages and their captain. Just doesn't seem to have found his form at all. Liam Lindsay, there is potential there, but he's making it. It just seems to be a bit too soon for him.
I can't see it.
Well, you only have to go on what you see of a player. Sometimes you have to overlook the odd mistake and look at what he does.
If it was the odd mistake, I would go with you.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I've never seen a player not be able to pass the ball and also not get the correct side of the person he's marking.
Mm.
But there again, that's just me.
Well, who scouted him then?
Well, I've no idea. It certainly wasn't me.
Okay. Chris Scott says, good evening, Ange and Russ. Hi, Chris. Nice to see you this afternoon. Josh Timon was at the game yesterday. He posted on Instagram. If he's been recalled, can he play tomorrow or will he have to wait until January when the window opens?
I haven't got a clue, but anybody listening, could you tell us about that? If somebody's, I think if you've been recalled, you've been recalled and that's it.
You can come in.
I would think so.
I mean, we've got, like I say, we've got an astonishing situation going on with the youngsters at the moment, where one week they're playing at Market Drayton or Leek or whatever, and the next minute they're back playing for us in the in the under 80 under whatever cup, Premier League cup yesterday. Andy Clifford says, I can't understand how Butland got back in. It must be due to his reputation. I think he's got a guaranteed mistake and Federici should come in. Well, I've got an explanation for you, Andy. We're not going to sell him unless he's in the shop window. So that's probably why he's playing. It's probably as simple as that. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, Butland's footwork is very poor considering he used to be an outfield player. Is that true, Andy?
I didn't know he was an outfield player.
Bath did have a word with Edwards after Butland told him he would deal with it and told him to kick it straight out. But I do agree with Ange, senior player made the decision. Yeah, Andy, he's a senior player himself now because he's playing in the team. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't trust himself to make the right, everything he's learned as a footballer, as an amateur, would have told him that if he's facing his own goal and he can see danger coming from in front of him, danger coming from behind, you clear the ball and you get clattered.
Yeah.
You know, that is what every coach would tell you, and he was that's why I'm criticising Tom Edwards, because that's we've all made mistakes on a football pitch, Christ, at every level. I'm sure every lad and girl who's listening to narratives playing football has made mistakes, me included. But you know, standing on the side, I was urging him to get, you know, in that split second, just put your foot through it, Tom, because you could just see what was coming. Anyway, Gary Pardy says, didn't Woods have a cracking game at Barnsley? I think he did, didn't he?
He did very well at Barnsley.
Yeah.
That's why he stayed in the team.
Ashley Mansell says, I'd play Federici on Tuesday, commands his area and he's done nothing wrong not to start. Well, I'll bet you that Butland plays on Tuesday for the reasons that I've just, or the reason that I've just explained. I think he'll play every game up till January, but there you are. Martin Mason says, evening from Ellesmere Port.
Hiya.
My 12-year-old is quicker than Tom Ince. He needs a kick. He needs a kick up the backside. Roger Barnett on Twitter says, on Tuesday, Butland, Edwards, Bart, Bruno, Ward. Atibo, if fit, is he likely to be, Ange?
I don't think so.
Powell and Dyle definitely come in, won't he? I would have thought. Duff, Ince and Gregory. I'd be... what was Matthew Lee? He did look a bit sluggish, didn't he, Lee Gregory? Yeah, why though?
It could be ill.
It could have had a virus, yeah. There's plenty of it about. Philip Kelsey says, Woods 4% of the vote. It must be his family and other gingers, says Saul.
Voting through.
Stuart Faulkner says, yeah, this could be the start of a run. Yeah. Matthew Rowley says, do you know if we can offload our loan players in January, or are we stuck with them until the end of the season? Cheers.
It depends on the way the contract's structured. Do you know that, Russell?
And both parties could mutually cancel it if they wanted to. Yeah. Sheffield, you never know. Sheffield United might want him back. If we're not playing him. Stephen Roberts, because like I say, the fans really like him. So I just don't. Another one. It's just another one I don't understand. Steve Roberts says Tom Ince was hiding and not helping Edwards. Mam Juif's just tweeted, thanks for all the love, by the way, that he's been getting from everybody over the weekend. So if you've sent him tweets, that's aimed at you. Ian McDonald says, McLean and Woods were by far our best players yesterday, says Ian. That just shows you about football, doesn't it, how subjective it is. Yes, Woods got caught in possession a couple of times due to lack of movement from his teammates, but he always battled and won the ball back. Powell was disappointing and Klukas was a big miss. Did you notice, by the way, in the second half at one point, Ange, before we'd equalised, that Woods got very, very frustrated when he was looking for a forward ball
because nobody was moving.
Yeah, he did do that and he was forced to go backwards by that, so he was trying to go forwards. Gary Eagle says, would you like us to join us next Saturday for our walk, Russ, from Stone to the 365 for young Elliot's dream?
Well, there's a match.
Well, I think presumably it's before the match.
Gary, I would join you, but we have the supporters council meeting at the club, so I can't. So I'm sorry I can't, but I don't know if Russell can.
He's usually running, isn't he?
Well, can't Saturday you do that instead?
Walk?
Yeah.
Run, walk?
Yeah.
Run it?
Yeah.
Gary Pierce says, Tom Ince is terrible, a one-trick pony in zero positional sense. He spends more time next to the centre-forward instead of out wide. To which response Andrew Tunnicliffe says, totally agree with you, he goes into the middle instead of staying on the wing to give another outlet. He sees himself as a number 10, Tom Ince does, I swear he does, and he's never quite pulled it off. Dan Eyre says, did you guys read the Athletic article? It gave an interesting insight into the managers and severe problems behind the scenes, especially the players, the lack of discipline from Hughes, an attempt by Lambert to resurrect it, the players on two-tier salaries that caused resentment, the retraction of win bonuses, routing the fans, and how Jones was a character who tried to be good cop and bad cop and anything to try desperately to get things working, including promising things to players but not delivering. It was really interesting and shows the issues behind the public face. Even the ownership and directors were not let off lightly, but it was interesting how positive Cartwright was viewed and how it was highlighted he was made a scapegoat. Well, I'm not sure you'd disagree with the latter part of that, would you, Anne?
I would like to say that, preface this firstly by saying I know Mark as well as I know some of the other members mentioned in this article. And the one thing I would say is that when you look at the players that Mark Cartwright was instrumental in getting for Stoke, Etterbo and Ndiaye being two, I refuse to think that most Stoke fans had ever heard of before they came to Stoke. Because there is this tendency when somebody's linked with Stoke that people go on YouTube or everything and know everything about them. But Mbula was a signing that... and I'd love Mark Cartwright to come on this show one day, and I'm sure he will once he's got a job somewhere else. But Mark Cartwright flagged up many, many things that should have made Stoke not sign him. And that article that you're referring to, Dan, and I think Ashley Littler's referred to it as well, it's clear that the vast majority of that stuff has come from inside the club. There's no way, or somebody that's close to people that are inside the club, there's no way some of that information would have got leaked, I don't believe. So going back to the Mark Cartwright thing, despite him and somebody else telling the club that they felt Mbula's previous character at the club he was at, and indeed the manager of that club has since agreed he should not have signed for Stoke, Mark Hughes wanted him to sign for Stoke and wanted to build the team around him. That was based on a 45-minute appearance against us in a friendly, I think it was for Porto, in a pre-season friendly. Anyway, cutting to the chase, Stoke did have an offer of $30 million to sell him. And all these people that say Tony Scholes, and I am one of the people that thinks perhaps things need to change at the top, all these people that say Tony Scholes just after making money, etc., etc., I can tell you that according to Mark Cartwright, Mark Hughes said under no circumstances did he want Mbula selling, and the board backed Mark Hughes' decision because Mark Hughes was the manager. So you had the guy that had brought him to the club, Mark Cartwright, saying you'll never get a better offer than this, take the money. And then the owners and all the directors backed Mark Hughes because Mark Hughes wanted to keep him. Other things of that article, I think we all knew anyway. I think we could have all written that article ourselves because it was quite obvious that things had gone wrong under Mark Hughes' reign. But going on to the article, I thought it was a very interesting take, and the only thing that I would add is that I don't think you can blame Mark Cartwright for the non-sale of Mbula, not that you were, Dan, because that was another example of how our owners back the managers.
Yeah. There's a difference between back the managers and getting the right decisions made, though. Isn't there, Angela?
Absolutely.
And I think I would like to see them be a bit more rather than just passing the book and saying to the manager, if I'd have been offered 30 million for Mbeula, I think if I'd have been the chairman, I'd have said, I think, Mark, we'll maybe let him go.
But by the same token, if I'll ask everybody out there a question that's come just because of your comment. How many of you, 12 months ago, the last season of the Prem, how many of you would have sold Jack Butland for 8 million? I don't think too many people would have sold Jack Butland for 8 million. I think people felt he was worth a lot more than was offered. That was why he stayed at the club. The CEO included thought he was worth more. I think hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I think you'd struggle to get 10 million for him at the moment, but that's just me. So for every one of us,
when was that offer of 30 million made?
I can't remember, but I mean, we didn't take it, and that was it.
He was signed in a winter window, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So presumably that offer of 30 million came in the summer window, the first summer window.
I can't say whether it did or not. It's pointless for me to try and speculate.
It's about the time, presumably, where those problems started that Glenn Johnson was talking about and things like that. Well,
but the point I'm making is that, you know, we all sit here now thinking, well, we should have taken that money for Mbeula. But if somebody had said to us 2 years ago, take 10 million for Jack Butland, you'd have said, no chance, he's worth much more than that. But you're only worth as good as you're playing on the day. Mm. And we took a view that he was worth more than that to us, and now...
Well, I'd agree with that decision, but I'm not sure whether... I'd like to know when that offer was made before I question it or not. Because if any offers were made of 30 million when these problems started becoming evident, then it's, you know, it makes a difference on what decision you should be making, in my opinion. Anyway, Neil Price says, McLean was outstanding, best performance in a Stoke shirt. Simon Beckett says, yeah, he was brilliant, and it needs mentioning as much as possible tonight. Simon Beckett says Tom Ince was poor. It's amazing opinions, isn't it?
That's
great.
Why people listen to the show.
Gary Pierce says totally incorrect. Ince was dreadful throughout. He never got to the byline and crossed the ball in.
We wouldn't have got the second and winning goal if it hadn't have been for Tom Ince causing a bit of mayhem.
And it's also wrong to say he was dreadful throughout, because there was a couple, like I say, he got in a position twice. Once he managed to get his shot away, but another ball from McLean almost reached him when he was about to put his foot through it on the left foot. And wasn't that a one? By the way, talking about crosses, wasn't that a wonderful cross by Stephen Ward yesterday?
Yeah, brilliant.
People who haven't seen this incident and are criticising Vokes, that ball came to Vokes without any warning whatsoever. He was just couldn't get ready for it at all. He didn't have a clear sight of it. There was two or three players who were in between him and the ball, but it was a fantastic. I thought Stephen Ward. That's why I put him in the four. I thought Stephen Ward proved me and quite a few people wrong yesterday that he was a pointless signing, because I thought he really played well yesterday, Stephen Ward. I have to be honest, I thought him and McLean dovetailed pretty well yesterday.
Going back to Jack Butland, Crouch Potato 1 on the Oatcake says, evening to you both. Judging by the interview with Michael O'Neill given after the match about Jack Butland, he'll be in goal for us for the foreseeable future. And the same applies to Joe Allen as well. What a great mental at the end that was, especially when you're on the steps of block 15, Madman comes to mind. Just a word on Paul Cook and his 2-foot sidekick yesterday. They were moaning about every single decision, and I mean every decision from minute one. How the fourth official didn't call the ref over sooner than he did, I'll never know.
I would say this though, and he was very, very complimentary about Stoke in his post-match press conference, wasn't he?
He was, and I just thought that before we hear the main audio, I'm not sure how well this will play off my phone, but this is just a few sound bites of what happened afterwards, she said, hopefully. Why isn't this?
Great start, difficult game, which we anticipated it would be. Probably made a little more difficult than we had to at times, but I'm delighted for the 6 points, delighted with the 3 points today as well, obviously. And since the players, you know, it's winning games like that get you out of trouble, really, you know, and they showed really good character in the second half. At times the game wasn't pretty, but at least, you know, we dug in, we showed that side of our character as well. And it's always great to win so late in the game. It gives, you know, supporters were magnificent, give us that extra wee lift as well. It sends them home happy, obviously. Looking forward to coming back next Saturday as well.
Our lads worked ever so hard today, and as I say with management, you can, if you come up here and criticise, there's been two Stoke managers who've sat here in front of all you guys, and if you...
Hang on, I don't know what happened there, but never mind.
Never mind.
They shouldn't be below Wigan Athletic in the league, that's for sure, with that squad. I can look at my players tonight with immense pride. Is that good enough? That's for other people to decide.
You think we might have to bring some players in January?
Well, there's no room in the change room for any more players, so we won't be able to bring any players in unless some players leave, first of all.
Stoke were coming on to us quite strong at the time. We needed an avenue to get up the pitch quicker. But, you know, Stoke were excellent today at times. You know, the fans were back bouncing. I've been in the stadium a couple of times latterly and you can feel the tension. This is a fantastic football club. No, it really is, and it will go from strength to strength again for sure. It's just very painful to see it bouncing at the end of the game like that.
What did you say to them at half time to turn the game around?
Well, it wasn't so much a question. I don't think it was a question of turning the game around, because we started the game so well and we should have been ahead and didn't take those chances. And then when you concede, I mean, you have to look at the goal. Like, we're pushing and we have a free kick in a dangerous area to go ahead, and 15 seconds later we're 1-0 behind. So I told them in a half time that I would learn more about it in the next 45 minutes than I probably will do all season, and that not to let me down, and they didn't, and the reaction was good. They came out again, played in the front foot, they left it themselves. And with players on the pitch that were tired, the likes of Joe, you know, playing 90 minutes for Wales in a massive game on Tuesday night, and then giving us again another 90 minutes today. So there's a lot of positives in the second half performance. Listen, there's aspects of the play that need to improve. We're not going to fool ourselves that we're far from the finished article, believe me. But the important thing was that they, you know, that's a game that maybe earlier in the season they wouldn't have been able to do that.
You brought out the best in James McLean today. You could face him in the Euros playoff final. That's a worry to you, isn't it, if he plays like that?
It is, but we'll get him doing double sessions all the week before, 20 kilometres a day. He does that anyway, James, I think, to be honest. But yeah, he will be a player that will be massive for us between now and the end of the season.
And that was just a few sound bites from the post-match. And I just played that then because you said Paul Cook was very complimentary to us. Sadly, I tweeted that out from the Not FM account last night, and my word, he got some stick from the Wigan fans. A couple of Stoke fans said, what a horrible thing to say in a press conference when your own team's just lost. But I thought it was a very complimentary interview, and he's no fool, you know. He tried to deflect away from the very gut-wrenching loss that they'd had, because I think it was about the fourth in five matches. And when the guy from Radio Manchester, who actually works for Radio Stoke, Dom Dietrich, kept pressing him, he'd rather talk about Stoke than themselves.
Okay, John Stoddard says, having a Blades season ticket holder, that's Sheffield United, if for anybody still ill-informed in the family, they won't want him back. He's fallen out with Wilder over money, apparently. He didn't like Powell either, John Stoddard, didn't he? Thought he was pathetic with little flicks and bottled tackles. So basically, he says, we played with 8.5 men yesterday, with Powell, Ince and Joe Allen being the other half. Leslie Podmore says, I think the difference between Jones and O'Neill is that Jones was ultimately a coach but didn't have the ability or experience to improve our players. O'Neill is a manager with an ability to plan, organise, lead and control our players, which was what is needed. He also maybe just be a man who commands the respect of the players, and whatever you think the rights or wrongs are about players not listening and not respecting our two former managers, that seems to be the case to me. Okay, back onto Facebook. Ange says, Stuart Faulkner. Here we go, Ange. Do you think we need more pace up top?
Well, yeah, but it's whether you're going to be able... Look, we've only got the players we've got. And Tyrese Campbell is probably... I mean, Mamdouf's not slow, you know, but Tyrese Campbell's probably the guy that people think has got more pace over a short period, a short length. But he doesn't seem to have the stamina to last the 90 minutes. The statistics seem to prove that his ability to last longer than 60 minutes, whatever anybody else says, the sports scientists seem to think he can't last effectively longer than 60 minutes. So I think it's, if you've got somebody that fast, you've got to decide when you put him on the pitch. And I would always put him on when the game's over 60 minutes long. But there you go.
Okay, Danair says, I get what you mean about simple instructions to players. I'm a reasonably intelligent guy and played rugby at a high level. But I liked instructions being simple as well-played phases as I would focus on the ball and the situation at the time, not the whole game. Maybe it's because I'm a forward, says Dan. Scott Price says, Valinden's loan ends on the 5th of January.
Yeah, and I think he'll be back, to be honest. I did ask the question, if anybody listens to the pre-matches, he said he hadn't decided about Valinden or Tymon. Clearly, Tymon's back.
Okay, Steve Bree says he'd keep Hogan. John Woodall says, yesterday, James McLean looked like a new player. By far the way, the man of the match. And it's got to be down to the manager also. Ince is just a show pony, though, says John. Mark Keegan says, evening, Ange and Russ. I think Shawcross will be back for the Blackburn game, at least on the bench. Stuart Faulkner says, Paul Hart scouted on all Nathan Jones's players.
Well, I don't know how true that is, so I'll leave it at that.
Neil Price says, O'Neill's press conference in the week, he was mentioned that we're short on wingers. He mentioned that we're short on wingers. Well, Ange will know that. And left backs, it's good he's noticed those issues. Mark Keegan also says, the thing what lets Butland down is his contribution. I think he means distribution.
He might mean contribution, because he ain't contributing much at the moment.
Well, his distribution times going straight out of play and stuff like that.
We should say hello to Ray in Malta, who's watching.
Hello, Ray. Benjamin Davies says, there seems to be loads of links to Northern Irish players coming to us now. It's natural that some players follow their previous managers. At least they will be reasonably priced. I just hope O'Neill doesn't pin too many of his hopes on them, as previous players don't always continue their form in new clubs. I would say a lot of the players that Michael O'Neill's working with at Northern Ireland wouldn't get in Stoke's team. And he's done a remarkable job with those players. Leonard Smith says, Valinden played for Bolton over the weekend. Didn't they get thumped, Ange?
I think so, yeah.
Can't see him being recalled till his loan agreement comes to an end in January. He doesn't need to be registered to play, but he's an under 21. The goal against Wigan was a lack of communication between Butland and Edwards. Edwards should have sent it flying for a throw-in, and Butland shouldn't have come so far out. I think we're all singing from the same hymn sheet on that. Paul Hicks says his team for Cardiff 4-3-3, which seems to be the formation. Isn't it enjoyable to say that as well, Ange, that there's definitely a change of atmosphere when we're actually playing players in a forward-like mode rather than just one up. Federici, says Paul Higgs, in goal. Edwards, Bart, Indy, Ward. And Dye, Woods, Tebow, Stroke, Allen. Juf, Vokes and Ince.
Can I ask, is there anybody listening tonight that would keep Jack in? We're not talking about because of his resale value. How many of the supporters out there would like to see Jack stay in? Because he did actually make one very good save at the end of the first half.
Super save. Well, that brave save down at the feet of someone. Yeah. Super save, that was. Absolutely brilliant. I'm glad you brought that up, Ange. There's no argument who the better keeper is on form. No argument at all, is there?
No.
So, you know, I just think it's just a pointless argument. Jack Butland's a better keeper, but he's obviously making a lot of mistakes at the moment. But I can see why the club are keeping him in. And you know, you can't really argue with that. They want to get some wages off the bill, don't they, Ange?
Yeah.
And if he's sitting in the bench, they're not gonna do that. Jackie Sadula says, if Butland's being played for the shop window, he's making his price fall, and we'll be better off dropping him. Yeah, but he'll fall out, might be fall out of people's eyesight in the shop window. Okay, Rich West says, if you get a call from your keeper, then you trust he's got it. I don't agree with that, I have to say. Look, I didn't play professional football, but I did play that position, and I would have still cleared it, and I would have argued the monkey with him afterwards, Ange. if he'd have said, I would have said, I don't believe you, and I'd have said, I'm clearing this, because it could be trouble. Lee Flackett says, unfortunately, whilst Butland is in the shop window, his price is falling. Funny how so many people are saying that. Leonard Smith says, Rich West, you don't trust anything Butland says. But even if Butland had said leave it, it should have been cleared way before that. I totally agree with that. Anthony Bradshaw says something you might like to have a few words about, Ange. Can we take a moment to remember the late Sean Hazelgrave, who sadly passed away over the weekend?
Yeah, for those of you who have, you probably remember Sean Hazelgrave.
Just about.
Sean Hazelgrave had the long curly locks, and he was a good player in a, in an era of a Stoke side that did well. He went on to Notts Forest afterwards, and he also played for Dennis Smith at York City. But he was a really good lad who gave his all, a local lad who did well. And I know that people like Johnny Marsh, Jackie Marsh, are particularly upset because they were very close friends. He died after an illness, and we should all be thinking of his family and friends at this difficult time. So rest in peace, Sean, and thanks for all the enjoyment you gave to me and a few other Stokies along the way.
What position? What position? Exact position? Did
he
play?
Played wing or mid or attacking midfielder.
I thought he did. Where did he come from? Was he? Was he? His local, the local
lad.
Academy.
Yeah, local lad.
Okay. Because we did produce quite a few of our own players at that time, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, most of them were local players then.
Yeah.
Certainly the back four, the back five,
absolutely.
The back six.
Well, the back four, that League Cup winning back four, yeah, was virtually born and bred in Stoke, wasn't it? Apart from Gordon, of course. Rich West says, Butland did shout for it, so I can understand why Edwards left it, but he should have cleared it himself. But if you keep a shout, you've got to trust him, he keeps saying. So, and Leonard keeps coming back and saying he should have cleared it way before. Either way, both weren't very good, he says. Rich West says, how come Klukas wasn't playing yesterday? Is he injured? Yes, he is. He is injured. He got injured at Barnsley. But hopefully it's not as serious as we first thought. Dan Eyre says, the article agreed with what you said, Ange, as they, open brackets, it didn't say he was directly, close brackets, wanted to build things around Mbouli. It didn't work out, but I agree that Cartwright was not fairly treated. I agree that 12 months ago I wouldn't have sold Butland for £8 million, and the offer for Mbouli was 4 months after we signed him. So in the summer period would have been about the right time. Gary says, the walk started 11:30 from the Talbot pub. Russ, we are walking from there. I hope everybody's listening to this. We're walking from there up the A34 to Trenton Gardens roundabout along the Stanley Matthews Way and up to the 365 collecting donations along the way.
So if anybody is free at 11:30 on Saturday, it's a great cause. Gary, you might want to write down what the cause is on the page again so that people know. But if anybody wants to go along and join, I would go genuinely, but we have a supporters council meeting. It's a massively good cause. They're raising money for a person that's not well. And I think it would be great if some of our listeners could go along. Ted and Jules, I know you'll go, unless the...
Jules is asking me again where the sweater is.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jules, if you go along on that, you can put the money in for the sweater into the donation pot, and I'll make certain you get the sweater anyway.
Okay. Stuart Fulton says Jack's come in now to $5 million,
right,
from $8 million. Scott Price says you'll take $8 million for Butland in January at the moment, he says. And Ray says, if we're honest, like Angela is saying, we would have thought we were bonkers had we sold Butland for anything less than $8 million. I thought anything less than $15 million during the relegation season. Michelle Rom is talking about Sean Hazelgrave. Hope we've satisfied you on that one. Mijan talking about Sean, the late Sean, sadly. Leonard Smith says, we need to sell and get rid of players before we buy any. You think of a few that need to go, but we will struggle to sell.
Well, I think that's something that Michael O'Neill said, that in that jokey bit of the interview, he couldn't get any more in the dressing room. And it's quite funny, isn't it? Nathan Jones said he wanted to get rid of players in the squad. We've ended up with an even bigger squad because nobody wanted some of the players that we thought would go. We thought Jack Butland would go. He isn't going, so we bought in a replacement keeper for him. It was quite clear that they thought Bruno Martins-Indy was going to go, so they bought in a replacement for Bruno Martins-Indy. I think they thought Badou and Dye might not come back, so they brought in a replacement there or bought in players to fill that spot. So we've ended up with more players.
Very, very badly.
We thought we've ended up with more players, plus they thought Mama Juford would be gone, and he hasn't gone. So going back to Mark Cartwright, when you look at some of the players that have gone, I'm amazed we've managed to get rid of some of the players we got rid of.
See, all this, Ange, as you know, I mean, is based on... I hear even more than I used to do now, obviously, from all sorts of people. But you don't know whether it's true or not, do you? Even people this afternoon were saying things about this, that, and the other, and you just don't know whether it's just people rumouring about stuff and whether it's accurate or not.
What we
don't know about any of those players you've mentioned is what any of those players or their agents actually said to the club they actually wanted to do, and whether they were going to go or not. What I don't understand is what's happened with Julian Ngoi and Mamdjif. And you can say all you like about, well, they wanted to leave in August, Ange, but we're now in November. And Mamdjif only appeared in that under-23 game the day Nathan James left the club, which tends to suggest that he wasn't allowed to play for the club until Nathan James left.
Well, I mean, if you've made a decision that somebody isn't going to stay in your squad, that somebody's not there, you don't have them training with you.
But we don't know what the reason was.
If you don't rate a player or you don't fancy him for whatever reason to play in your team, you're not going to encourage him to come and train with you. That's common sense.
But it's another confusing decision, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it's confusing or not. You know, there are people, like tonight, people have talked about Ryan Woods and said Ryan Woods played well. I didn't think he played well. So that's just purely personal. It's a subjective decision. So if you take that over a season and you don't want somebody in your squad, you're not going to let them keep training with you. You're going to try and ease them out. The same thing happened with Jeff Cameron. And nobody will ever convince me that Jordan Cousins is as good a player as Jeff Cameron. Where on earth we... I mean, I know Queen's Park Rangers fans that are still laughing about that. How anybody can think Jordan Cousins is a better player or athlete than Jeff Cameron is just beyond me.
Well, I'm waiting for John Stoddard to respond on that one. But before I do, I'll read John Stoddard's about Jack. John says, I would keep Jack in form. I would keep Jack in. Form is temporary, class is permanent. He will come good again when his confidence improves.
Yeah, but that won't be with Stoke. That'll probably be with West Ham United. Crouch Potato 1 says, the worry on Tuesday night for me is the height of the Cardiff side. And like yesterday, when Kiefer Moore came on, they'll target our lack of height in our back four. Jacob says, a possible reason for Jack keeping his place is that we need to keep a settled team, especially the defence. Come January, then I'll be surprised if we have all three of our current goalkeepers, Butland, Federici and Davies. Most likely Butland to go, albeit for a bargain price. I think Federici will stay, but I think we'll see him gone in the summer. And as for Davies, I really don't know. He must be shaking his head and whatever.
Okay. Rich West said Ward did some great running in the channels.
Yeah,
he did. He showed he got the energy again. I don't know what's been going on there either. Paul Cook sounds like Darth Vader. I prefer our Irish pot of gold, hopefully, says Ben. He's a Scouse Darth Vader, apparently. Trevor Hughes says, players on the season-long loan can be recalled by a parent club in the January transfer window, but only if the two clubs agree.
Yeah.
A recall clause in advance. A loan deal can be cancelled at any time in the season if both clubs concerned agree. Yeah, we agree with that. Steve Pearce says, it was great to get on the coach after the match and everyone was smiling for once. Wilf says, he wasn't complimentary to the groundsman who drowned out his interview when he drove by on his mower. Who's that? Wilf says.
It'd be either Michael O'Neill or Paul Cook.
Stuart Faulkner says Jack out. John Hall says no, Jack should not be playing. Carlo Balza says no, Jack out. Steve Pearce says, I thought it was really unfair how Federici lost his place to Butland. I think you've mentioned that before, haven't you? And you agree with that,
I couldn't quite fathom how somebody who had... In fact, I can't fathom how somebody that had been put in a couple of games, then dropped, and then built his confidence up again and got back in again and did nothing wrong, was dropped again. I found it very odd.
Mm. He was doing really well, according to Steve Pearce, in his opinion. Steve Lamborn says he'd like to see Davies. I think we all like to see where Davies is. Not necessarily playing the first team at the moment, but he's certainly... I don't know where he is, folks. Honestly, I haven't seen him in any under-23 game lately either. Ashley Mansell says, nothing would make me happier to see Jack back in form, but we can't afford to wait for his form to return. I think Angie's making it clear that he may not be here.
Well, I just don't think he will. And you know what? I think he's gone stale. I think he would benefit from a move, and I think I wish him well.
Andrew Tunnicliffe says, I just want to comment about James McLean. We were playing Sunderland in an away game when he came on and changed the game. We couldn't cope with him. We ended up losing the game. After watching that game, I thought he would need to go out and get him. I then soon changed my mind when I heard he would not wear a poppy. And I was also totally disagree with us signing him. Ben Davies says, Jack has done so much for this club, and to have an England international like our legend Banks was great for the promotion of our club. But if you were Federici or Adam Davies, they must be wondering what they need to do to get in the team. When a goalkeeper is making so many mistakes, we need to be careful that if we do sell Butland in January, our backups might not want to even play for us by then. Bad individual performances should never be rewarded. Paul Gardner says, what a fantastic feeling to get a last-minute winner at home. To be honest, I don't think we were amazing yesterday, but 3 points were massive. And if we've got a manager who's luckier than our previous managers like Lambert and Nathan Jones, let's all enjoy it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I hope this guy's luck runs and runs and runs.
Joe Richard says, does my head in all this talk of Butland? He's contracted to the club and owes a lot of loyalty to us. For everything that he's done for us, our fans slag him off, and that's disrespectful. Ted says, we will definitely put a pony in the bucket, Ange, as we are on the walk.
Oh, brilliant. Well done. I'll cut the sleeves out of the jumper just in case you put less in.
Stuart Faulkner says, 13 players must go. Mm. Name the 13, Stuart. Ray Kalea says, hi, Ange and Russ, good evening. I've been listening quietly, says Ray. Things are suddenly looking up. Hopefully we can build on these last two games under the new manager. He seems to have brought in a sense of direction, assertiveness, discipline and respect. The players seem to have responded positively. If we cultivate this upturn, we may have suddenly discovered the next Walters and Whelan, etc., and players like Alan, Clucas and McLean, not to mention some others. I'm sure Michael O'Neill's main next priority is to trim the squad. That will only help improve the spirit within the camp with the smaller squad. I agree with that, actually. Unless we get a chronic injury list, and then we'll be glad we got the players. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, I then read his letter. This is carrying on from the previous post. Mm-hmm. Read his letter to the chairman of the club he was playing for at the time, and I could understand why he couldn't wear a poppy, and we should respect him for that. I know there are plenty of Stoke fans out there who disagree with him. There are plenty of Stoke fans out there who disagree with him. When O'Neill mentioned about getting McLean back to those Sunderland days, it would make many Stoke fans happy. Well, I think Stoke fans were brilliant with him yesterday, especially. Andy Simpson says, Ryan Woods is not very good, and we should not have got rid of Jeff Cameron.
There are people that disagree with that.
He's talking about Paul Cook, Wilf was. By the way, you were right, Ange. Mick Carr says, I've got little green shoots of hope and optimism showing. Andy Tunnicliffe says, I'm sure I saw Davies warming up with the other goalkeepers.
Yeah, he does.
I got there just about on time yesterday, and so I didn't see the warm-up, as is normal, and I get stick for whichever all the time. Scott Price says, Davies was warming up on the pitch yesterday. Stuart Ford says, Jack thinks he's better than he is and cannot see him in the England team. We got any more on there? Okay,
we got some, but why don't we hear the audio now and give us both a rest, and everybody else, more importantly, a rest from our voice.
What audio do you want to hear, Ange?
Which particular audio you want to play?
I'm going to read the polls just for a second. McLean is still walking away with this man of the match poll,
well,
Ange.
I can't imagine why he wouldn't.
97% of that.
So a member of Woods' family has either given up voting or more people have voted for McLean.
3% Woods is down. No, 0. I'm so disappointed. 0% for Ward and 0% for Bart.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the Cardiff result is a little bit different on that one, Ange. Cardiff 16%, draw 53%, Stoke 31%. So it's got more positive, in fact, since the last time we talked. And the poll result versus Blackburn, Stoke 88%, draw 5%, Blackburn 7%. So there we are. Let's hear from Mamjuf anyway. I think Mam's speaking here now.
Just how much that meant to you today.
Oh,
It's good to play football again. And you know, the best thing is we end up winning the game, so it's good to score the winning goal.
Just some of your emotions when that ball hit the back of the net.
Well, you can't describe it, but, you know, we're in the long way and we just have to keep going.
How difficult has it been for you over these last few months not being involved, but with Michael O'Neill coming into the club, you're now back in the first team fold?
It's been very good. It's been very hard, but you know that's the way football goes on. And I just don't want to think about it too much. You know, the past is the past. Now we just have to be focused and try to turn things around. And I'm ready to help. And whenever they call me, I'm just ready to step in.
Has it just been a case of keeping your head down and being as professional as possible, and then waiting possibly for an opportunity?
Yeah, I've been like that, and no matter what happened to me, I'm never going to change it. So that's my character, and I can't change it. So I'm just going to keep going that, like playing it like that, being professional as much as I can, and try to help the team as whenever they really need me.
Since the new manager's coming to the football club, what's he had to say to you in the short period he's been here?
You know what, it's been good, you know, just to come out from the 23 and be getting involved in everything. So it's a good feeling. So he's giving me that opportunity to step in and show myself, and I'm thankful for that, and I'll just keep working hard and try to get many more games as well.
I was going to say, is it now a case of keep trying harder and harder to force your way into the starting 11 now?
You know what, I'm the type of player, I never give up, so my goal is always try to push on, try to make it hard for him to decide which 11 he's going to take. So my goal is just to work hard and wait for my opportunity and just try to take it.
I think you see at the end as well how much of a popular figure you are in the terraces as well as in the team as well.
You know, like I say, you know, it's Stock City, and it's really sad to be sitting down outside and looking what's happening, and knowing myself, I can get involved and I can try to help. But now I'm back on it and I'm just going to try to work hard on it.
I've been at the club for quite some time. You must be as eager as anyone to try and pull the club out of the situation they are at the moment.
Yeah, so this is my sixth season, so it's been a long time. And it's really sad to see where we are now, but that's the game of football. Now we just have to keep working hard and stay together as a team, because that's the only way we can make it. It's not individual, it's not anybody, it's just as a team. So if you want to make it and get out in this position, you know, show the fans what's really Stock is about, and we just have to do it as a team with the fans, with the everybody in Stock City.
With you managing to get two wins in the manager's first two games, how much of a confidence boost does that give you now?
Yeah, I think we just have to. It's good, it's a good feeling, but now the hardest thing is stay on it, because it's not going to be easy for the next couple of games. But you know, if you take it game by game, don't even think about the table. The only thing matter for us is our next game, and our next game is started, so we just have to go there and play our football trying to win it. So that's our goal, just playing game by game.
And that was Mam Jeef, Ange.
Yeah, it's nice to hear what he says, and I think Bruno Martins Indy in another interview yesterday said we've got to take each game at a time, you know. But let's just savour the win that we've had. I noticed that somebody has commented about Jeff Cameron being a jack of all trades and a master of none. Well, it's better than just being a jack like Jordan Cousins.
I think I'll talk about the ladies now, Ange. We've had two games today. The reserve sadly was called off. The weather is decimating, particularly the women's game, Ange.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so difficult for the girls to stay match fit and stuff. But the development side managed to get a game in at Norton today. There's a lot of work going on at Norton, Ange. New drainage and all sorts of things being put in there, which is why the girls are playing it Clayton Wood at the moment. That can only, I don't know who's funding that or whatever, but if it's the club, my congratulations to them for doing that, and a tremendous amount of work on clearing the, you know, just clearing the general area and making it a better venue for the girls to play football. So whoever's responsible for that, I have to give them a great deal of credit. But anyway, the Devs played at Norton this afternoon against Sutton Coldfield. Managed to get the first half of that, Ange, because that started at 2 o'clock. And I was delighted to see by the time we'd left at half time, it was 3-0. And at the end of the game, it was 7-0. So, great result for the girls. Meg Hunt was captain today in the goals, as was Emma Henderson and quite a few other scorers as well. So, great result for the Devs. First team played in League Cup action today against Wolves, and it was a cracker. It was a real feisty game. Okay, I don't think our girls were particularly happy how they played for the majority of the game, but it ended up with a 3-2 win for Stoke. Meg Bowie got the first for Stoke. Faye McCoy got the second goal to put Stoke in front on from the penalty spot after Cassie Hyde had been brought down, and Abby Hunt then got the third, and Wolves got a goal in the 10th minute of injury time, and in the second half from a penalty. I think the referee forgot his watch, to be honest. It was unbelievable. There's some, you know, some disappointing news. We had a few injuries today. Captain Meg Bowyer, who wouldn't go off, I know, if she wasn't really suffering, may have suffered a foot injury, so we're hopeful on that one that it's not as bad as I think Meg fears it might be. So I'm thinking about you, Meg, and I hope you you know, it's not as bad as it could be. So you know, good win, and I think the ladies are back in action, first team back in action next week, as are the others, weather permitting, Ange. But I think they're through to the third or fourth round of the League Cup now, so they're having a good run in that competition again. Anyway, John Woodall says, at last, we're getting a new manager bounce that other clubs seem to have.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
How many times is that positive? Because what were we saying, Ange, that we don't seem to get that? We didn't get it with Rowe. We didn't seem to get it with James. We had it for one game with Lambert. And anyway, we've got some score predictions here, because you normally ask for them at about this time of the show, don't you? So we've got Ted's coming in with Stoke to win 2-1. At Cardiff, we'd love that. Steve Roberts has gone Stoke to win 3-1 at Cardiff and to win 2-0 against Blackburn. Dan Eyre says he loved that interview with you. If you could see that a huge weight had been lifted from his shoulders, and he was beaming and he was so grateful to be back. Well done to Mammy Duke for being so positive and plugging away. A great example to fans and players alike. Nigel Keats says, I can't see any reason why we can't go to Cardiff on the back of two straight wins to get a result. Jade Denning's gone for Cardiff 1, Stoke 2, and Stoke City 2, Blackburn Rovers 1. Gary Pardy's gone for Cardiff 2, Stoke 2. Dan Eyre's gone for Cardiff 1, Stoke 1, Stoke 2, Blackburn 1. Ben Davies says, I hope the new manager bounce and has uplifted the fans and the aura around the club, and I hope that lasts as long as it can. Of course, we will lose sooner or later, but we're on the whiskey and Guinness tonight, so let's stay uplifted, even when the bad results come, because we were formidable when we get behind our team, God willing, sorry, Jonesy. Gary Eagle says, it's for the lad recovering from brain surgery. I'm currently in the process of having T-shirts made for those who are doing the walk, which are £5 each. Ted and Jules will be joining us along the way, as will many more Stoke fans. Ted has kindly gone out of his way again to get us a signed shirt to auction off to raise money for young Elliot's dream to go to Disneyland. We will be carrying buckets for donations from all kind Stokies on the day. Aren't they fantastic, Ange? All these people raising money, raising money for everybody. They're brilliant people.
Lee Stokies, and if you're doing nothing Saturday morning, get up early. Go and join that walk, please.
Yeah, Lee Stokey says Cardiff 1, Stoke 1, and Stoke 3, Blackburn 1. Dan Eyre mentioned something that, thank you for reminding me about. This week we've lost a great stalwart, actually, from the football club, the women's side of the football club. My mate Tash Tesgell, who's left and joined West Bromwich Albion. I don't think anybody at the club wishes Tash. This just shows you, it's like Peter Crouch leaving or somebody like that, Ange. There's not a single ounce of ill will towards Tash. He's just left to play first team football with West Brom. And you probably, if you haven't seen Tash play, you'll certainly hear Tash on BBC Radio Stoke or other radio outlets promoting the club, being part of the community trust events and all sorts of things like that. Tash was absolutely wonderful person, good as gold, and I shall see her around when I'm watching games and stuff. She was an absolute pleasure to know and a great friend of mine. And Dan's right to raise about Tash leaving the club. I shall be. I'm sorry, I can't wish her good luck when we play West Brom, though, Ange. So, no. But I will be in any other game she plays. But a wonderful girl and a great ambassador for women's football and this club, as I'm sure everybody who watches women's football and listens to this programme knows. Neil Price says 2-0 to Cardiff. 2-0 versus Cardiff. I presume that you mean Stoke winning that game, Neil. And 3-1 versus Blackburn, which again I presume is a win. Martin Eagle says 2-1 win versus Cardiff, Ange, and a 3-0 win versus Blackburn. Nigel Keats says we just need another James O'Connor moment at
Cardiff.
That'd
be great, wouldn't it?
Wasn't that amazing? Yeah. That was amazing.
Happy days.
Amazing stuff. Anthony Bradshaw says Cardiff 1, Stoke 2, and Stoke 3, Blackburn 1. Me and Ant got the score wrong, you know, on Saturday, Ange. I rolled my window down on Saturday, and I got there at about 10-3, and I said, "What's the score today, Brad?" And he says 3-0 to Stoke. And I agreed with him, Brad. I agreed with Brad, and I had 3-0 myself.
Mm.
And of course, he scored first, so all better off, aren't we?
Yeah, I thought it would be 3-1.
You thought it was 3-1?
Mm.
Okay. Scott Price says, win or draw at Cardiff, and Stoke 3, Blackburn 0 next Saturday. Stuart Faulkner's gone for Jack Butland, Lindsay, Ward, Cousins. He's having,
just been a bit of a
is he having a wind up here? He's gone for Jack, Lindsay,
Block
Ward,
him.
Cousins, Vimmer, Duffy, Smith, Mamdjou, Fimbula, Hogan, Davies, Cameron, and Ndai. There you go, he says. And Benjamin Davies says, be a draw against Cardiff. Two new managers trying to get momentum. Win at the weekend, though. So 4 out of 6 points, I'll take that, and we're up that rainbow. And he says Stoke to win the next 4 games, Stuart. Is he?
Next 5.
5.
Well, when you look at the fixture list, there's no. I mean, there shouldn't be any games that we're bothered about playing apart from the top 2 or 3, I guess, at the moment. But they really are all what you'd call winnable. But the thing about the Championship is it's so unpredictable, isn't it? You can play one week well, and then the next week you're absolutely awful, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. I just find the whole thing amazing that this league is ultra, ultra competitive. It's just so competitive.
It'd be a sign that things are really on the up, though, if we do get a couple of good results this weekend, wouldn't it? Because I think we've had a couple of wins on the run recently, and then it completely went pear-shaped,
yeah,
didn't it, for
well,
a couple of games.
Yeah, we had 2 good wins, and then it went awful. I mean, the Millwall game wasn't great, but I just don't see... I expect us to struggle on Tuesday because it's Tuesday night. And we will always struggle more in this division than most other clubs because we have some of our key players are players that go away and play in internationals. And it doesn't matter about the 90 minutes. It's the flying all over the world.
But you've got a fresh Badou Ndai, though, haven't you, to bring in, Ange? He's quite a key player for us, isn't he?
Well, yeah, if he's 100% fit, but that doesn't make up for the loss of Etebo. And it doesn't make up for the fact that Joe Allen is obviously tired. And the Irish...
Well, some people wouldn't mind if he was dropped, though, Ange.
No, I know they wouldn't. But I think you've got to expect a different team this week. You've got a flurry of more messages coming, I think.
OK. Anthony Bradshaw says, that list must be the ones to go in January, not the team for Tuesday. Yeah, that could actually be true. Jack, Lynn... Yeah, exactly. Jack, Lindsay, Ward, Cousins, Vimmer, Duffy, Smith, Jeef, Imbula, Hogan, Davis, Cameron, and Dye. It makes more sense, actually. Mm. That does. Not had a pint yet, Russell, says Stuart Faulkner. And Scott Price says, winnable games if Stoke can try and win five up to Fulham on December the 29th. It's a run they need to go on in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, for all our wins, we're still way in the relegation mire. Yeah. And can you imagine what it would have been like if we hadn't have scored that last-minute winner? That's what you have to look at. And then you look at Middlesbrough getting pegged back. And things sort of have started to turn a bit for us. If I was putting my money on teams to go down now, Barnsley would definitely be going down. And I think Middlesbrough would be joining them. And then I think there's a whole host of clubs for the other position, Wigan being one of them. At this moment of time, you have to say us. And I wouldn't look much higher up the table, if I was being honest.
I don't think there's any prospect of us being anywhere near it to come the end of the season.
Well, let's hope you're right.
I think there's a different feel around the club already.
Yeah, but it only takes a couple of bad results to that feel to come back.
I'm not sure. I just think it depends what you mean by a couple of bad results. You can lose any game of football and still play well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think we're good. I think with this guy, we're going to start getting the sort of level of performance that I was talking about a few weeks ago. Rather than talking about one decent performance in 10, with this guy in charge, we might have one poor performance in 10.
Mm.
You know, and that's an acceptable ratio for a lot of the fans. You know, rather than the one good performance in a month of Sundays that we were putting up with for ages.
If we just look forward to the Blackburn match now, as Crouch Potatoes said, Cardiff have got height. I tend to think that Blackburn have got a fairly tall side, or has that changed? I'm just struggling to think. I know you mentioned the game last year.
The game last year against Blackburn. I mean, thank goodness we turned it around in the away game there later on in the season, where we won one of a few matches.
Yeah, I remember.
But that game against Blackburn, and funnily enough against Wigan, it's funny how they're coming together again, isn't it? Those home games, because those games against Wigan and Blackburn last year were absolutely unbelievably bad. Mm. And I think, like I say, I quite agree with people who are saying that we're now look a different outfit. They look like they're prepared already. They're prepared to play for this man. And the only assumption you can make is that they didn't respect the previous two managers.
I think one of the most important things when I've been lucky enough to interview him was immediately after the Barnsley game when we won. He was very composed. He just did a little clap to the fans, went off straight away, did his press, disappeared. Very calm, very reassured. Then he said in last night's post-match, in Friday's pre-match conference, that the next seven games would not only be important for the football club, but they'd be very important for the future of the players playing at the football club. So he put the onus on them, and he also said that it was difficult to get some of the younger players around the team because the squad's too big. But it's pretty obvious to me that he's going to ship people out in January one way or the other. And he's obviously already made his decisions that the squad's too big.
And by the sounds of it, his decisions on who he's letting go.
Well, the other thing as well is that he's not daft. He's done quite a lot of work away. He's worked out of football for a couple of years, so he knows what it's like to work. He's done a degree in finance and business and sports business, and so he will have a good idea of what's needed to get round the financial fair play. And the one thing that I found the most interesting was when he was talking to the Irish press and to the English press since, he said Stoke is a club that he's always had his eye on because of the ownership model, and he's always felt that he could work with the family. He's always said that when you're in foreign hands, you don't know whether you're working for them, the technical director, whoever the person is. So to me, this is not only, he is not only in this moment in time an ideal manager for us, we're an ideal club for him. And going back to the capped one, I always felt he was a good fit for Stoke. I never felt Gary Rowett was a good fit for Stoke. I never ever, despite the 3 ninth place finishes, I was never really comfortable with Mark Hughes, because my opinion was he always felt better than Stoke. And when he put himself forward for the Everton job when he was Stoke manager in the third year, you had to, although that's probably not common knowledge, it probably is now, you have to wonder whether somebody wants to be at your club. So I think this guy does want to be at our club, and it may change in due course. He may be a very successful guy, but I just got the feeling he likes the family. He not likes the family in so much as, but he likes the stability and you report to the owners. And I think it could be, when Nathan Jones went, and it's obvious Nathan Jones went because we felt we had a replacement, and it's common knowledge now that everybody thought it was going to be Alec Neil, and for whatever reason that didn't happen. But it must have been virtually close to happening for Stoke to sack Jones when they did, when you expected him to go after the Huddersfield game, and then he bizarrely goes when he did.
Amazing.
Then you look at who's available, and people are talking about Sam Allardyce and all these people, and I think you're deluded. But when you look at the people that were actually available, and you hear that Steve Clarke has been interviewed, and no offence, Neil Harris, they might batter us on Tuesday. Neither of those people did I ever want as a manager of the football club. Out of the people that were mentioned, that got interviews, then to me he was the only one that really would have fitted the bill. And it could just be one of those lucky coincidences, because when Tony Pulis got the job, he wasn't supposed to get the job because a certain person turned us down after we'd appointed him. Whatever happened to him, George Burley?
I don't know what happened to him.
Didn't he go to Ipswich?
No, I don't. I mean, now.
I don't know. Do I care? Even less.
Would you know, funnily enough, this is completely off track altogether, but whatever happened to David O'Leary?
I don't know. He was at Leeds.
Aston Villa.
Yeah, mustn't have liked
then, well, you know, then he's been out of the game ever since, hasn't he?
Yeah. But going back to the football, I mean, if you go back to the position where we are in the league, if it all comes down to goal difference, then we've got to start banging some goal in and stop conceding them, because that's almost like a point against us at the moment.
Okay, Andrew Tunnicliffe says, something I think a lot of people will agree with listening tonight, says, found yesterday there was a different feel in the air, even though we went 1-0 down. I still thought we'd win the game, and we did. It's totally different from any other game this season. I think that's a good, it's a good analogy, that. I think there is a different feel in the air already. Talking about airs, Dan says, to go down, he says, Barnsley, Luton, and possibly one of the few other teams around the zone. I think we'll escape more comfortably than with Nathan Jones. Stuart Faulkner says we need more goals, as we have a -11 goal difference. Well, it doesn't matter if you point Stoke's way away from the danger zone, does it? Ian McDonald says the next two games are crucial. We won games either side of the last international break and then had 3 terrible performances. Yeah, let's hope it's not a case of deja vu. Aunt Bradshaw says Shawcross could be back for Blackburn.
Well, I'll be surprised if he is, Aunt, but what great news.
Nigel Keats says Barnsley and Luton and Wigan for the drop.
I'd go with Barnsley.
Neil Price says, open January, we look at a left back or give Timon a go. I'd like to see another winger, if not Valinden, come back to save us spending or loaning anyone. I'm not sure there's anyone in the under-23s who I'd promote at the moment, apart from Valinden, who's out anyway on loan. I don't think there is, from an attacking perspective anyway. Dan Eyre says, we look more balanced. That makes such a difference. It makes other teams worry about trying to counter-attack us rather than know our weaknesses. Michael O'Neill is very old school, dare I say Fergie-esque. and players will know in no uncertain terms where they stand on the pitch and off it.
Yeah, that's good.
Ben Davies says, Walters up front, Delap on long throws, Kai in goal and a sniper in the dugout to shoot the Bluebird. And Stuart Faulkner says, do Stoke still pay any of their past managers?
I think they do.
Yeah, well, Andy Tunnicliffe's given two suggestions, Jones and Rowett, as being paid. Craig Podmore says, let's just try and stay unbeaten this week. I'd take a point on Tuesdays with the injuries and suspensions to contend with. And three next Saturday is Blackburn, a poor, in his opinion. If you'd have offered me that 2 weeks ago, I'd have snapped your hand off.
Yeah, when you look at the fixtures as we have done, I remember about 3 weeks ago, people saying to me, I just can't see where our next point's coming from.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, it's a completely different scenario. I was thinking 15 to 18 points before Christmas.
Mm.
I wasn't thinking of 15 or 18 points before the end of the season a couple of weeks ago. And that's the amazing thing is, don't let's forget here, we're all saying that the players are playing in the right positions. There's a difference as well. The players want to play for this manager. Mm. And that's something I can't get my head around, because some of those players clearly didn't want to play for the previous manager and maybe even the manager before that.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So we've got 5 more minutes left. Give us your predictions and your teams, please.
I think that's probably true, Ange, you know. But whether it's right or not is another... Yeah. Shall I do Super 6, Ange?
Why not? It must have been awful for me, because I can't remember...
Well, that's why I was getting ready to read it out with a bit of zeal.
Zeal.
It must have been... Not a hugely difficult week to predict, because we've had plenty of scores in the teens, Ange. Wow, so you must have had a shocker.
I'll still be above you, though.
Oh, you are.
That's all that matters.
You'd rather be above me than below me, would you, Ange?
Absolutely, every time, in every circumstance.
Okay. Exerting your dominance.
Whatever.
Okay.
Don't let's go down this. You're going to get nasty.
Craig Harold topped the board.
Craig
Carroll topped the board on 14, with Matthew Pye on 14. I wonder if he's American, Ange.
Bye-bye.
Third is Daniel Stevenson. Wonder if he's related to Robert Louis.
Oh, God, get on with it.
Okay, he's on 12. Neil Warburton nudges there, look. Nudges there on 12. Lee Dunn on 12. Stevie Breeze...
The cheat
on 11. Martin Eagles. The man from the church?
Yeah.
The man from the church is on 11. Willing. God willing. And Liam Evans on 10. Now, overall, this is quite a drum roll, please. Overall.
I know who's top.
Bill James.
He never listens anymore.
He does listen.
I know.
Second place is Vicky Wood. Keeping the end up for the girls.
Mm.
187. Paul Stokes on 185. Mark Green in fourth place on 184. Only 6 off the lead. And we weren't laughing at that, Mark. Matthew Pye, the Americans, on 177. Dan Air, the Australian airline, is on 175. Pete Hollander, who I can never pronounce right very often, 175. And Craig Harold on 172. You're in 50. You've dropped right down, Ange, to 15.
What are you, 115?
No.
You're just as bad as the cheat.
Luke, calm me down. 15th you are, Ange, on 167, just above the Eagles, Martin Eagles.
And what 164. Are you, 45th?
I am 42nd.
Oh, you climbed.
And do you know who I'm level with? Which is quite which just shows you what a difficult year it's been to predict, Ange. Do you know who's level with me?
No.
The winner from one of the last two seasons.
Really?
Dave Plant.
Well, bad luck, Dave. I tell you what, I wouldn't play if I was on the same level as...
Linda Bennett, who's also had some good news, yes, hasn't she, lately? She's now a grandma.
Yeah.
She's on 138 just above me. Roger Barnett's just below me on 133.
Can I just say, nobody cares who's just below you because you're so far off the list. Come on, last few before we have to go.
Listen, I'm only 32 behind you, and it's a long season,
it
Smithy.
It is, yeah.
It's a long season.
I remember you saying that last year.
Okay, let's have a look at you. Okay.
Last few.
Will we be allowed on the pitch for our lap of honour if we win? Says Dan Eyre. That's of course reference to the playoff game, isn't it?
Where's Solomon and Larry's backside when you need it?
Oh, amazing, wasn't it? Andrew Tunnicliffe says 2 Stoke wins. Paul Higgs says 1-1 to Cardiff, 2-0 to Blackburn, 2-0 against Blackburn. Sean Stubbs says I'll be happy with 1-1 at Cardiff, for the win would be amazing. Dan Eyre says I'm above the cheat, I'm so I'm happy, he says. Steve Jones says against Cardiff a draw and Blackburn a win, I enjoyed watching the game yesterday and can see a new spirit within the team. Stuart Faulkner says night. Martin night. Eagle says you've got the wrong Eagles. Okay,
he means the bald.
Okay, he's more, Dan Eyre says he's more German Lufthansa Eyre, okay, rather than Australian Eyre, obviously. Loads of people saying thanks for a great show. Gary Pardy says, isn't it nice to be smiling again? Another cracking show, thank you.
Yeah, and listen, we're bang out of time. We're finishing on time, and Russell is going to play out a track that, of course, will bear no relationship or any relevance to the game yesterday. Can I just say, if you aren't doing anything next Saturday morning, please take part in that walk, and we look forward to being back with another 6 points next Sunday.
Well, nice. I've got to thank Simon Heath for this.
Okay, Simon.